This episode of Standard Orbit is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for your tablet, smartphone, and desktop. Support the show and get a free audiobook of your choice by visiting audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hey everyone, I'm Rod Roddenberry, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Follow a Standard Orbit, Mr. Chekhov, and take us home.
Hi, sir.
It is the word of Landru.
Joy to you, friends, and thanks for joining us here in Standard Orbit, Trek FM's dedicated show to the original series. My name is Drew, or Landru, and this is my co-host Mike from Commentary Trek Stars. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. Today, we're recording the penultimate episode of Standard Orbit 1.0.
Yes.
And what better way to celebrate our penultimatuity than by doing a list? Because that's our thing.
Yeah, this is the ultimate list.
Yes, this is the be-all, end-all list, the final list of Standard Orbit.
It is a list.
1.0.
It is a list of our 10 favorite or the 10 best
episodes.
It's
just the top 10. We'll just call it the top 10.
The top 10.
However you want to interpret that. Not you, the listener. I'm talking about the listener. However the listener wants to interpret it.
Sure.
It's up to them.
And it's of all of TOS, including the animated series, including the movies, including the JJ verse movies, the 110 episodes.
Yeah. Appropriately.
That make up the canon.
The actual canon.
Yes.
Though I did only pull from the Standard Orbit canon.
I'm not sure if I did or not, honestly. I would assume
sure
I did, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, I actually went to our Standard Orbit canon list and literally pulled from there.
Interesting. So we're going to start at 10,
yeah,
work our way down.
Yeah, we'll start at 10.
And yeah, see what happens.
All right. I think my number 10 is going to be higher on the list, on your list, but I'll go ahead and start. My number 10 is Arena.
That is higher on my list.
All right.
Well, my number.
So, what's 10, your number 10?
My number 10 is Yesteryear.
Excellent. Top 10.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
See, there's this weird perception, I think, that people have of me in that I don't like the animated series.
No, I don't think that's the perception. I think they think you hate the third season.
Oh, there's that too. Yes. I hate the third season. There is that perception as well. But there's also a perception that I don't like the animated series. And I'm assuming that the reason why people have that perception is because I'm repeatedly talking about
literally said
how
that.
Bad it is. But that's not to suggest that I hate it. I actually like it quite a bit because of what it is and how it exists and all this stuff and everything about it. And really the only thing which I don't like about it is the writing. And I love Yesteryear because it is such a fantastic script. And it's an animated series episode. So it has everything that I love about the animated series as well as an amazing script. And because of that, I can show Yesteryear to people and be like, look at what the animated series was. And they
could have been.
No, it was. It was this thing. It was amazing. And here's also a really, really, really good story in this style. So, yes, I love Yesteryear. I think it's great. I think it offers a lot of interesting stuff in terms of Spock's backstory. I think we've discovered that it may not work tremendously well in terms of the time travel, whatever, but that's okay.
Yeah.
It's pretty good still.
All right. Wow. Yesteryear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my number 9 is iMUD.
Okay.
I didn't put it as high as I expected.
Yeah.
I think that's because of our show. I think that the discussion about all the its importance, TOS's importance, you know, to television and to science fiction, and two, Star Trek, I think, bumped IMA down, but not off the top 10 list, because it's just so, so ridiculous that I can't not love it. It's sexist, yes, very much so. Would I show it to someone as, this is what the original series was about? No, no, I would not do that. But I think it's very entertaining, and I love watching it. I heart I mud.
Excellent. All right. Well, my number 9 is Amok Time.
Good choice. I, for some reason, it did not make my top 10.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, in addition to obviously, you know, probably providing more information about Vulcan culture than, like, anything, at least in the original series, for sure. It has so many things in it which are just so iconic and cool, and it's a lot of fun to watch, and it's sort of, like, burned into my brain, because for about a year there, whenever my wife was going to sleep, this is what she would turn on in the background to, you know, fall asleep to or whatever. So I know every frame of this thing, and I love it. You know, it's great. This is where the fight music came from, and all that stuff, you know, and all those jokes which are in pop culture from that fight, and it's a great fight, and it's a great episode.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed I didn't put it on my list, but I've got a lot of things to make up for it,
including
my number 8, which is Star Trek IV: The Voyage Home.
I have that higher on my list.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what's your number 8?
My number 8 is Mirror, Mirror.
Ooh, also a good choice that I don't have on my list.
Yeah, I think, like, in terms of just straight up original series episodes, like those 80 from the original run, when I was growing up, this was my favorite. And I think the reason was because it was, you know, kind of a weird take on a familiar thing. And, you know, I mean, we've talked about this in regards to the Mirror Universe, and I know that you're not a huge fan of it in general, and I am. And I think, you know, one of the reasons why I like it so much is because it, by showing the familiar in a different light, it accentuates what it is that makes the familiar what it is. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is really sort of beneficial from sort of a analytical standpoint. And I also think it's a really cool story, and it's cool to see evil Kirk and evil, you know, Spock and all that stuff. And it's also a great story, and I think it has a great message, and yeah, it's a very strong episode.
If I remember correctly, my problems with it are all related to the logistics of a mirror universe, but the episode itself is, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
Well, okay. What's your number 7?
My number 7,
you know what,
is...
Before you do that, just for continuity's sake, let's do my number 7. Which
okay.
is The Voyage Home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, see? So, The Voyage Home. I'm kind of surprised it made it this high on my list. I mean, I guess in a lot of ways, this was, you know, sort of like the first episode that I loved. You know, it was when I watched all 5, you know, and over the span of 2 days, this is the one that really stood out to me as being like,
as
this is the one where I'm like, I'm going to buy this. I'm going to go to Music Land and buy this on videotape. And it is a lot of fun. And it's Star Trek in its message, even if it's not really Star Trek in its sort of form. And it's a pretty solid story, all things considered, which is weird because it's like the popular one, but not really the fan one. But some fans love it and some fans hate it. And, you know, I love it. And apparently you do, too.
I do. I do love Star Trek IV. I think it's the one I watched most often as a kid, because there's really, except for like Double Dumbass on You, there's really, you know, nothing inappropriate for kids. And I never thought of it as like the the, you know, one with the environmental message or the one where they save the whales. For me, it was just the fun one. It was just the one with the 80s jokes that I'm only now getting. And there's still stuff I'm discovering about Star Trek IV. And it's just the most quotable one, you know, hello, computer, and, you know, not now, Madeline, and other things not from that scene.
Like the nuclear vessels.
Like stuff. Nuclear vessels. That's the beauty of it. They will be again. Weren't those a gift from Dr. McCoy?
That bothered me when the first time I saw it, and it has ever since. It makes absolutely no sense to me. I don't know. His logic.
Theoretically, they're the same glasses, and they are eternal because he had old glasses that he gave to a guy that theoretically Bones bought those same glasses from that guy's descendant and gave it to Kirk, who in the future gave it back to him.
Spock should have called him out on that right there. That's a load of crap right there. Double dumbass on Kirk for that logic there. But yeah, no, I mean, I agree with it being just the fun one. You know, I mean, it does what, you know, all good science fiction does with its, you know, themes and messages and stuff, in that it says, you know, hey, here's a cool story. And it's not until you stop to think about it that you realize that it's trying to teach you something too.
Yeah. As obvious as the one with the whales should be, It's not as obvious as it could be.
It's pretty freaking obvious, though, when you think about it.
But now that I think about it, I'm now thinking of the scene of actual whales getting actually murdered.
Yeah.
Never mind. I mean, not never mind that it's a good movie and I have it on my number 8, but...
Never mind that it's not obvious.
Right.
Yeah.
But it and again, it's not a lot of, like, the bottom half of my list are episodes where it's like, for the most part, not necessarily something you want to show somebody, like, this is what Star Trek is.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, it's just, it's, this is a cool bonus for liking Star Trek. Here, have this fun movie.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so then what's your number 7?
So my number 7 is Balance of Terror, which goes against everything that I just said about the bottom half of my list. But Balance of Terror is good Star Trek. And I wanted to put Balance of Terror in my top 10. So I the hole was in spot number 7. So that's where I put it. It's just cool submarine warfare. Obviously, just a script from a, you know, submarine movie that they find and replaced with space stuff. But it's just such a good submarine movie that you have to like it. You have to watch it. And it's incredible.
Yeah. And it also has that, you know, political, whatever, societal message of, you know, not judging people by how they look and, You know, taking people for who they are. And, you know, that sort of, you know.
About, like, I want out of racism on my bridge and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, dealing with at the time, you know, the communist threat and all that stuff. And I mean, it's something that is still applicable today, sadly. So, it's definitely a really good episode. I agree.
Good.
Not enough to put it on my list, though, but yeah.
Well, fine. So your number 6.
Yeah, my number 6 is one that was earlier on your list, and that's Arena.
Okay.
Yeah. Arena. I mean, I think if people have been listening to this show, they probably know my love for Arena.
It's a Citizen Kane of Star Trek.
I think that was a mistake on my part. It's not the Citizen Kane of Star Trek. It's more maybe the Casablanca of Star Trek. You
okay,
know?
I'll give that to you.
But it's what it is it's quintessential Star Trek. There we go. It's the Double Indemnity of Star Trek.
No, that was something else.
I'm pretty sure even if I tried to make it something else, it should have been Arena.
Maybe it was Arena, and I just called the episode that. But we have an episode called The Double Indemnity of Star Trek.
Do we? Okay. Well, that's good. But yeah, it's quintessential Trek. You know, it really is sort of everything that you would expect to find in an original series episode. There's the space battle. There's the ground battle with the alien. There's the moral tale. There's Kirk being a total badass. There's the godlike being who comes in at the end. I mean, it's got it all. And the Gorn. I mean, come on. And the Vasquez rocks. I mean, what more could you want? Nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing more that you could want.
Arena is a lot of, again, a lot of fun, but it's also got a good message. And it's got, sure, it's got the cheesy alien and the cheesy fight scenes, but that's Star Trek. I'm sorry. That's the original series.
Oh, yeah.
And, no, I'm not going to apologize for it. That's Star Trek.
Yeah. It is what it
is. Deal with it.
Yeah, deal with it. Sorry if it's too awesome for you.
Yes, you did call Arena the double indemnity of Star Trek.
All right, I'm glad. I'm glad, because it is.
I should call this episode the Casablanca of Star Trek anyway, and just have three episodes titled What You Think
Arena is. All right, do that. Do that.
We'll see. We'll see. All right, so my number six is a piece of the action.
Okay.
Again, not something you're like, look, this is the original series. But again, it's fun. I like Star Trek for fun. And that's, I'm sure people have realized that. I appreciate the deep, in-depth stuff, but I watch it to be entertained. And a piece of the action is super entertaining. It's my dad's favorite episode. It's got, you know, Kirk and Spock in fedoras, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got gangsters. It's got Fizbin. It's just a whole lot of fun. And I had to put it in the middle of my list before we get to the actual, like, really, really, really good episodes. But I had to have it up there.
Yeah, it definitely is a really solid episode. And I've come to appreciate it a lot more over the years. It's one of those episodes where I saw it late in my Star Trek fandom, relatively speaking, like a couple years in, and because of that, I think that kind of skewed my perception of it in a certain way, because it's I don't know, you know, like it's not like some of these other episodes where it's sort of like ingrained in your psyche, you know, from the get-go, and then, you know, you sort of like feel that as part of the series. Like, I saw it once a couple years in, and then I didn't see it again for a while, and I think because of that, it never really, you know, latched onto my brain. Mm-hmm. like it should have, like a SETI Alpha Eel or anything like that. You know. But it's a good episode, for sure. Yeah.
All right. What's your number five?
My number five is The Trouble with Tribbles.
I have that higher.
I figured. What's your number five?
So my number five is The Devil in the Dark, which you don't have on your list at all.
No, I don't.
Because you don't like Devil in the Dark.
It's fine.
I love Devil in the Dark. And okay. I put it on the list just to frustrate you. No, I put it on the list because I like The Devil in the Dark. Yes. I've always liked it. You know, you've got a strange creature. You think it's one of those, you know, lost in space kind of, oh no, there's a bad thing and it's, you know, eating people. We need to kill it. And then it turns out that, you know, it has a conscience. It has a soul. It has, you know, the ability to communicate, the ability to love and to care for its offspring. And there's nothing wrong with that. And it teaches you in the extreme way that deep down inside, even if you're a carbon-based life form, we're all the same. And, you know, we need to look past our prejudices and our initial assumptions about things or people and to get at the heart of the matter.
Yeah, it's a cool message. It's interesting that they pretty much ignore it for the rest of Star Trek.
Well, yeah.
But I do think that it's solid. It's definitely, you know, one of the cooler things in terms of, you know, the conceptually in Star Trek. And I do think that it's solid in that aspect. It's just the execution, which doesn't necessarily work for me as well as it should. But I wouldn't call it a bad episode, I don't think.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so your Number four?
Number four.
Number four.
Man, we're just barreling through these.
This is fantastic.
Yeah. We got to be careful not to make this episode too short, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. My number four is easily going to be the most controversial choice on either of our lists, I would imagine. And it's easily going to be the one that I take the most crap for. And to that, I say, bring it. And that is Into Darkness.
Whoa.
All right. Bring it. Yeah.
I didn't expect that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, here's the thing, which I haven't tried to make a secret of or anything like that, but I'm a huge Star Trek fan, right? I'm a much bigger movie fan.
Right.
And J.J. Abrams is the bomb, you know, when it comes to making movies. I think that he is, you know, I've said this on numerous occasions, but, you know, what I like and what he like are on, like, the exact same wavelength, you know. And I've loved all of his movies aside from Super 8. And even that one wasn't bad. I've loved, you know, his TV shows and everything like that. And even, you know, a lesser Star Trek movie by J.J. Abrams is still going to be freaking awesome. And I think a lot of it has to do with the stylistic elements. You know, I'm a big fan of, you know, big blockbuster sci-fi extravaganzas. And this certainly qualifies as that. And I think that people tend to overlook the thematic elements which are present, which I think are very important. And I think it has something very interesting to say about today's society. And I think that it's a pretty awesome story. Is it a perfect story? No. But I still think that it's pretty great. And a lot of times I think about, like, what would my 13-year-old self think of seeing these later Star Trek things, stacking them up to the stuff that I loved back when I was, you know, 13. And I think my 13-year-old self would think that Star Trek Into Darkness was amazing. And I know that there are people who are probably thinking, like, well, you're not 13 anymore. Maybe you shouldn't try to think like a 13-year-old. And I can totally see that as well. But I think my point here is that, you know, I'm looking at things, trying to put things on an even level, an even playing field. And I've got to say that, you know, Into Darkness is pretty freaking awesome. So, yeah.
I like Into Darkness. I wasn't going to put it in my top 10. I've not seen it in a while, so a lot of my recent thoughts on it have been based on the articles recently of all of the writers apologizing for it.
Yeah, which is not an accurate portrayal of events, you know.
Right.
I
mean, I've not read these articles. I just know that the writers are out there saying, we could have done some things better.
Here's the thing about those articles, right? Damon Lindelof, here's the headline. Damon Lindelof says keeping Khan a secret was a mistake.
Yes, that was
the
headline.
You read the article and he's like, keeping Khan a secret was a mistake. And it's like part of like a much bigger thing, mm-hmm. You know, or like, what was the thing that JJ said? Like, he went into Star Trek Into Darkness while still having some major issues with the plot or something. It's like, okay.
Everybody does. Everybody starts a movie and then rewrites it on the fly.
Right. And he's like, I learned not to do that anymore. Okay.
That's kind of like how people interpreted that, Hobbit bonus feature, saying, you know, like, oh, you know, Peter Jackson admitted that he was making it all up as he went along, and that's why it's so bad. And I'm like,
yeah.
No, that just means the fact that it didn't, like, murder your children as they slept means that he's an incredible director. The fact that he could do all of this on the fly.
Yeah, I read that, and then I watched the video, and I'm like, this is still basically just a fluff piece. This is still, I mean, there's some crazy stuff in there, and I would recommend watching that video if you haven't seen it. But it's like, he's basically saying, like, I was just, you know, trying to do this on the fly, and then I got to a point where I'm like, I can't do this on the fly. So then we took a break.
Okay. Right. But right. Everybody was just like, oh, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Oh, Peter Jackson admits defeat. No, he admitted that he needed more time.
It's like he's not saying, like, I made the worst movie ever and here's why. I'm sorry that my movie's so terrible. He's just like, I ran into a problem and then I took a break, regrouped, and then I made this thing.
Him winging it is better than some people's, you know, 20-year passion projects.
Yeah, well, that's... Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you count, like, Fateful Findings as someone's passion project.
Fateful Findings?
It's the new good, bad movie that everyone has to see. It's on Amazon Prime. Check it out.
Oh, okay. All right.
If you like bad movies, do that.
All right. I usually don't like bad movies, but I'll check it out.
Well, then don't do this.
All right. I won't then.
Good. Anyway, Into Darkness.
Yeah, that's a good
one. You wanted more filler. Here we go.
All right.
Into Darkness, I enjoy it. I'm not going to say that it's great.
Mm-hmm.
I'll admit that it's good. It's better than a lot of people give it credit for.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't put it in my top 10. I wouldn't show it to somebody and say, this is what Star Trek's about. But that's not what this list is about. But it's just, it's fun. I do want to watch it again. And I probably will soon.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, I've seen Star Trek 09 so much, you know, before Into Darkness came out that, like, I was doing a rewatch of the two of those for commentary Trek Stars right here on Trek FM, because for our final season, we have been, we're devoting the entire season exclusively to talking about the work of people who are working on Star Trek Beyond, right?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously there's a lot of crossover there with the last two movies. So I'm like, okay, we're going to be talking about the last two movies a whole bunch over the course of this season. So I'm going to just sit down and watch the two of them together. And, you know, that way, you know, before we jump into all of this, just so that, you know, I know what's coming or whatever, or what they've done. And, you know, Star Trek 09, it's like, wow, this is great, you know, whatever. But then I found myself like looking forward to Into Darkness more because I'm not as familiar with it, you know, on a beat for beat, mm-hmm. you know, level. And it's kind of more exciting to watch in a sense because it's fresh and new.
Right. Years right.
In, you know, so
I can see that.
But that doesn't have much to do with the quality. But it's still a lot of fun to watch. So
it is a lot of fun to watch. I will admit that.
Yeah.
All right.
So we're on to number four. Yes.
My number four is the Corbomite Maneuver.
Okay.
The first proper episode of Star Trek.
That was filmed.
That was filmed, but not the first episode that was aired. Why the man trap? Why?
I think it had to do with the effects were done.
I know why. Okay. I did this podcast. I learned why.
All right, cool.
We've done this podcast.
I just wasn't sure if you had listened to the show, you know? I just wasn't sure.
I don't listen to the show. It's kind of hard to edit, but
I usually don't listen to the show either, to be honest with you.
Well, I
hear it when we record it, so you know.
Right. You have good memories.
There's times, you know, the only time that I really listen to the show is when I think I may have said something questionable and I want to hear, like, I was just watching, I just went to see this movie Spotlight. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which I highly recommend. It's going to be nominated for Best Picture and everything like that. It's amazing. It's about the team at the Boston Globe, the investigative journalists who uncovered the scandal of the child molestation in the Catholic Church among, you know, priests and whatnot, right?
Oh
yeah, it's happy fun times. Kay. But it's really good, you know. I mean, it's really interesting, you know, just see these people, you know, like figuring it out, putting the pieces together, and especially now that everyone's aware of, you know, whatever. Anyway, but there's this whole thing where they spend the entire movie investigating and, you know, trying to gather up enough evidence to say, like, okay, we can drop this now, right? And they're like, okay, we're going to press. Is this spoiling the movie? I mean, it, everyone knows they went to press, right? Okay, so yeah, you know that they published the article because...
I don't think you could spoil biopics.
So anyway, but there's this moment where, and it's not even like stated. It's just like it goes to press and then they have like a shot of like the city, Boston, you know, just like the morning when this thing is going to drop. And, you know, because the big question throughout the whole thing is like, what's the public's reaction to this going to be? You know, what exactly is going to happen? And when I saw that shot, I'm like, I know that feeling. Not on that big of a scale by any stretch of the imagination, but surely like the idea of like you hit publish and it's like, okay, that thing that I said last week to one other guy is now available for anyone who wants to listen to it. I really hope I didn't say anything stupid.
Yeah, you know, I could see that.
Whenever I'm worried about that, I'll listen. If I'm worried about having said something stupid,
insert shot of the internet.
Yes, but otherwise, I usually don't have time. I'm sorry because I'm preparing for next week. I'm making lists or whatnot.
Yeah.
Now I'll listen once we stop recording ourselves.
Yes,
I'll listen.
We'll listen to Standard Orbit
episode 111.
Corbomite maneuver.
Yes. Sorry. What was that about? Oh, yeah. It. That's why. Yes.
Yes. It was about not listening to the show. Corbomite maneuver. I think that Corbomite maneuver is a good introduction to Star Trek. I feel like it's got the character beats. Everybody's coming out of the gate swinging. It's got not really racism, but like fear of the unknown. Because one guy starts flipping out, like, oh, God, they're just trying to drive us crazy. And, you know, Kirk's like, you need to calm down. You need to be cool. And the guy calms down and is cool. And then it turns out that it was all for naught. There's a lot of... It could be sped up a bit. Like, it could use some creative editing. A little less of the block spinning. The you know, Rubik's Cube spinning. But I really enjoy it, and I'm going to continue to say it's one of my favorite episodes, which is why I put it way up high on this list.
Well, it goes along with things like Arena and Balance of Terror as being that quintessential Trek that we were talking about, you know? It was maybe the first example of that. And, yeah, it's really solid. I agree with you that it would have made a really good first episode. Like, if you're not going to do The Cage or Where No Man Has Gone Before... This would have made a really good first episode, and it is kind of disappointing that it's not.
Right.
Oh, well. All right.
So your number three.
My number three is the Wrath of Khan.
I have it higher.
I figured. What's your number three?
My number three is The City on the Edge of Forever. After watching it again with you last episode, while I agree, we agreed that it wasn't, I compared it to Doctor Who and stuff, that it's not something you'd show to people. I don't know why I keep dwelling on this. I'm sorry. But
it's okay. Yeah.
But it's so good that I had to put it in my top three of just my favorites. It's just so good. I enjoy watching it every time I watch it. Sure, it's got, you know, it's sped up, you know, the whole love story thing doesn't really hold up. I see what you mean there. But just the plot and the way that it works and the way that it's acted and the way that it's shot and the way that it ends, it's perfect. And I love it.
You know, it's interesting because it may have made my list had we not recorded that episode last week. But in rewatching it, I was like, I mean, yes, it's very solid for sure. But is it top 10? Nah, I don't think it is really. You know, maybe it was just sort of that whole thing where we were talking about the perception of it being the best. And it really is not the best. And maybe that sort of skewed my opinion of it a little bit. But I still think that it is really good, to be sure.
All right.
So I guess we're at number two, right?
Right.
All right. Well, my number two, which I'm guessing may be higher on your list, is, or maybe is number two on your list, is The Undiscovered Country.
No. I'm afraid Undiscovered Country didn't make the top 10.
Well, then I just don't know. I don't even know why we're doing this podcast. Why are we doing this podcast? I wish you would have told me this 109 episodes ago. And when you asked me whether or not I wanted to do a Star Trek original series podcast with you, because I would have said no.
I'm sorry. I thought about it and I wanted to put more episodes on there.
Okay. All right.
There's no rhyme or logic to my list. There's just...
No, clearly.
Logic Star Trek... is out the window.
Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country is freaking amazing. It has such a solid writing and directing sort of tandem. I mean, I think it's the best written episode of the original series, for sure. And the direction is so economical and precise and awesome and cool. And I think it's really the finale that the original series always deserved but never got.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
And I mean, I love it too. I just, you know, if you ask me to do a top 10 list next week, it's going to have completely different episodes on it.
Okay, but if we ask you to do a top 4 movie list, is it going to be on there?
Yeah.
Okay, after The Voyage Home.
Yeah. 2, 4, 6.
It's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Oh, well.
Yeah.
yeah. No, I mean, you know, I mean, whatever. I mean, I have Into Darkness on my list, so, you know, who am I to judge?
Exactly. Don't throw stones. Yeah. You and your transparent aluminum house.
You can throw stones if you have a transparent aluminum house, right?
That's, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I imagine that's part of it. Okay, so my number two, which was yours earlier, I forget which.
My number three, probably, I'm guessing.
Trouble with Tribbles.
Oh, number seven.
That's what
six,
I was going to say.
Five, six, six.
Six, six.
Five.
Five.
And so do you.
No. Good reference. Star Trek yes. 4. Infinitely quotable.
Doesn't really make any sense, but, you know.
It makes perfect sense.
All right.
Trouble with Tribbles. You love it. I love it. It's the Trouble with Tribbles.
Well, I mean, we've talked about this a whole bunch, but, you know, in addition to being on the surface, like, the fun, cool, crazy, fun episode of the original series, it also sort of does all that stuff that the original series is supposed to do. It has, like, this cool sort of political intrigue backdrop and everything, and all that stuff is going on in it too. It just does it in a different way than what the original series usually does that in. And I mean, it really is kind of next level.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. All right, so my number one.
Yeah, your number one.
Okay. I'm sure most people have guessed it by now.
I know what it is.
And they're probably all outraged, and you know what?
Yeah.
Bring it. You know, it's okay.
There's riots.
It's like Red
Insert
Hour.
Insert shot of internet.
Yeah.
It's riot.
It's Red Hour on the internet because I say that J.J. Abrams' Star Trek is the best episode of the original series.
Yep. You said that. That's a thing you said.
Yep. Yep.
I'll right say now, the same thing I'll say I said for Into Darkness. You know, I enjoy it. I like it. I watch it.
Mm-hmm. Norm and Jeff are rolling over in their graves.
That they're going to rise from in a couple weeks?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even though they're not dead, they're still rolling over in them, right?
I guess.
Yeah, that's how bad it is.
You killed them enough that they died, and now they're coming back again later.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you know, it's it is what it is. It's, you know, everything I ever wanted Star Trek to be, and more. Maybe not more, but it's everything I ever wanted Star Trek to be. It is all of the greatness of the, you know, content wise, you know, thematically that Star Trek is, but with modern, you know, action blockbuster aesthetics. And that to me is awesome.
It's kind of like your favorite, like you've got your favorite band and your favorite album is their greatest hits album.
Uh-huh.
But it's a cover album and somebody covering that band. It's still good. The songs are still good and they're still there and the covers are good. But it's weird for that to be your favorite, your band's favorite, your favorite album from that band.
I mean, I get what you're saying. I understand.
And I'm not disagreeing. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying it's weird.
No. I see what you're saying, and I know why it would be weird. You know, I can understand that. I think my explanation for that, or whatever, if I have to explain myself, which I'm sure I probably do.
You've got multiple commentaries about it.
Yeah, it goes back to what we were just talking about with, you know, Into Darkness and everything, where it's like, yeah, I'm a movie fan, and this is a freaking awesome movie. And I do tend to be, you know, visually skewed when it comes to my opinions on movies and stuff like that. I mean, that's something that people, my friends, tend to make fun of me for, you know, and how, you know, I'm like all about style and not substance or whatever. And while that's obviously not true, I do think that, you know, this movie does have some amazing style in addition to some really good substance. And maybe it's just because it hit me at the right time or whatever, but, you know, I really related to the message of this film, and it's my favorite. Sorry. Not sorry.
I'll forgive you.
Thanks.
No, it's fine. And we knew this when we started 109 episodes ago.
Yeah, see, I was upfront about it. You were like, do you want to do this show? And I'm like, well, you should know that Star Trek 09 is my favorite episode of the original series. And then you were like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, yeah. So what do you think about Star Trek 6? And you're like, oh, it's so good.
These are not actual behind the scenes stories.
Yeah.
My number one's Wrath of Khan.
Well, I guess we knew that based on process of elimination, yes. Right?
Spoilers from a few minutes ago when I said that it was higher on my list and then didn't list it as my number two. So that's your three, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think if we were to like do the math on it, you know, if we were to actually like break out the protractors and the graphing calculators, I think that we would find that you are probably correct in that Wrath of Khan, from a technical standpoint, is the best episode of the original series. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm freely willing to admit that, you know, I'm coming into this with some baggage for sure. But yeah, I mean, can't really argue with Wrath of Khan being the best.
Yeah, it's got drama, it's got humor, it's got just enough humor.
It's
got Ricardo Montalban. It's got
his chest
tragedy.
Yes,
it's great. It's fantastic, and I love Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan, The Revenge of Khan, The Vengeance of Khan. The so many titles.
And it does what you know, we were kind of talking about Star Trek 09 doing, and it also does that thing that I think is essential to moving Star Trek to the big screen, you know, which is for one thing taking full advantage of what the medium has to offer, but also making it its own thing, even though it is a sequel to an episode of the original series. You know, I remember in high school, someone who I worked with described it as, I worked at a comic book store. I should preface this by saying someone described it as, Star Trek issue number 0. And it really is. It introduces everyone. It tells you everything you need to know about Star Trek. You really don't need to see a single episode before you go into this, and you're getting the full Trek experience, but on the big screen. That's pretty great.
And it's one of those things that, like, we learned a lot about Wrath of Khan through Tenuto and, you know, did a commentary with him and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, the more you learn about it, the more you appreciate it. Yeah. Which goes with a lot of things, but I think for Wrath of Khan, it doing the show has, like, helped solidify it for me as mm-hmm. as number one.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't argue with it. It's awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. So for the record, do you want to give your top 10 again?
Okay. In which order?
Let's start at number 10.
All right. Number 10, Arena. Number 9, iMUD. Number 8, The Voyage Home. Number 7, Balance of Terror. Number 6, A Piece of the Action. Number 5, The Devil in the Dark. Number 4, The Corbinite Maneuver. Number 3, The City on the Edge of Forever. Number 2, The Trouble with Tribbles. And number 1, The Wrath of Khan.
And for me, it's number 10 is Yesteryear. Number 9, Amok Time. Number 8, Mirror Mirror. Number 7, The Voyage Home. Number 6, Arena. Number 5, The Trouble with Tribbles. Number 4, Into Darkness. Number 3, The Wrath of Khan. Number 2, The Undiscovered Country. And number 1, J.J. Abrams' Star Trek.
2009. The movie. .com.
Yeah.
well, that was it. The final list of Standard Orbit 1.0. The definitive mm-hmm. list.
Yep.
For now. Yep. For this week.
Yeah.
Call us again next year, and we'll give you a different list.
Definitely.
Well, it was fun talking about our favorite Star Treks today, but that's just one of the Trek topics we've been talking about on Trek FM this week. Here's a quick look at what you may have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
They just happen to come at just the right time.
Right,
or just the right time
for it to be dangerous.
Like, literally, like, not even, like, that day, but, like 2 minutes before this happens.
Earl Grey.
Well, it does all those cloak experiments. It deployed that communications array.
Minefield?
And the minefield for exploratory purposes.
Let's not talk about the Defiant, because you know it's just going to upset me.
To the journey!
What about Tommy?
Tommy is a drunk, and...
He's drunk in the ready room meeting. His head's down, and so Janeway says, Tom, anything?
Just not so loud! Commentary, Trek Stars.
You know what? See, the thing is now, if Star Trek Beyond goes sideways in any way, you've planted that line in my brain. And I'm like, I only got half a peg, and I'm just going to trot that out if I don't like Star Trek Beyond.
The 602 Club.
I remember hearing... Timothy Zahn, even back then, reading an article that he was listening to the John Williams scores in his car as he was thinking all this through and making sure the pacing felt like it did with the music. So maybe it had to do with the certain music he was listening to. Maybe he was listening to a New Hope score at that point. I don't know.
Literary Treks.
I think we had between the three of us half a dozen or eight different springboards, and they were written in such a way that they could have gone to either ship and crew. It was like, you know, the Sagittarius encounters big blob in space, or Endeavor encounters derelict spacecraft, or I mean, I'm being real surface here. I mean, the prompts we provided in the Bible were probably just a couple of sentences long, and it was just meant to say these are the kinds of stories we're thinking about.
Women at Warp.
So we went in and pitched, and I have to say that was one of the most terrifying experiences of my life. I have scrubbed in on brain surgery. It did not frighten me as much as waiting outside Gene Roddenberry's office getting ready to go in and pitch to him.
Meta Treks.
You're not going to see a bunch of Klingons hanging around eating cake and you know, laughing at
well, Klingon unless chips. Unless it's a peptide cake with mint frosting.
Peptide cake, indeed.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out these shows and get in on the Daily Trek Talk. You'll find them on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud, or you can just stream from the website. Just visit trek.fm/podcast to get all the links. If you want to contact us and share your thoughts on today's show, you can go to trek.fm/contact. There's a form there. Choose Send a Show and choose Standard Orbit. That'll come to both of us by email for now. You can also use the tab in the left-hand column of any page to send us a voicemail using your webcam's microphone. You can talk to us and our other listeners at our Facebook group, The Babel Conference. In social media, you'll find our Facebook page at facebook.com/trekfm and on Twitter, username trekfm. Mike, where can people find you out of orbit?
Well, you can find me right here on Trek FM still doing commentary Trek Stars. And you can also find me on Twitter at Mumbles3K, and you can find my other show, Commentary Track Stars Babies, on commentarytrackstars.com.
And you can find me on Twitter at 005, DUBLEOFIVE, and on various guest spots around the network. Before we go, we'd like to ask everyone to please support our sponsor, Offspring Standard Orbit 2 each week, and our sponsor for the show is Audible.com. Audible's a great way for you to read all the books you've always wanted to read but never thought you'd have time for. Audible's the premier source for audiobooks, and more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, and even some of the most famous Star Trek books like Prime Directive and Federation, Audible has something for everyone. Mike, what do you have for everyone?
Well, I have a book that was written by Alan Dean Foster and narrated by Alice Eve. It's called Star Trek Into Darkness.
Really?
And it is the fourth best episode of the original series.
Okay.
Here's the summary for those people who may not be familiar. The official tie-in novelization of the highly anticipated sequel to 2009's blockbuster feature film Star Trek. Pioneering director J.J. Abrams has delivered an explosive action thriller that takes Star Trek into darkness. When the crew of the Enterprise is called back home, they find an unstoppable force of terror from within their organization has detonated the fleet and everything it stands for, leaving our world in a state of crisis. With a personal score to settle, Captain Kirk leads a manhunt to a war zone world to capture a one-man weapon of mass destruction. As our heroes are propelled into an epic chess game of life and death, love will be challenged, friendships will be torn apart, and sacrifices must be made for the only family Kirk has left, his crew. And you can get this book for free since you listen to Trek FM. Yeah.
You know, none of that sounds accurate.
It's somewhat accurate.
Well, as a Trek FM listener, you can get that book or any other book for free, along with a 30-day trial just to see how great Audible is. So give it a try today. Catch up on all those classic Star Trek books you've yet to read and that latest novel from your favorite author as well. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank Audible for supporting Standard Orbit and Trek FM. Mike, I'd noticed that you have a new hoodie. Where did you get such a cool hoodie?
I got it from the Trek FM store on Redbubble. It's kind of amazing. It is a Trek FM hoodie.
It's got our new logo on it.
It does. It's awesome. I just ordered a sticker, which I'm going to put on the back of my car, which has the same logo on it. And I also ordered a Maroon Monster t-shirt.
Yeah,
the red one.
Excellent.
Our maroon alternate. If you go to the Babel conference, you can see all of our official uniforms, the home, the road, the alternates, the mirror universe alternate, the retro. I think Aaron, who designed the shirt, was like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like,
sports.
You gotta have like 15 different uniforms, right?
He's like, but I want it to be red. So I ordered red, yeah. And you ordered red. And yeah. We should probably have them by the time that this episode comes out. So maybe we'll post a picture.
You better have them. Yeah, for sure. So you can get your official Maroon Monster uniforms on Redbubble.
So there's a super easy way to get all of our t-shirts and hoodies and stickers. If you go to trek.fm/store, you'll have a link to most of the items. And then if you click on the link, it'll take you to the rest of the items.
Yeah. And hey, you know what? I mean, like, they're looking for ideas. They're looking for things, and they want to know like what designs and everything people want to see. because, you know, there's the Maroon Monsters thing. There's also the Ninja Cat thing, which didn't originate with our show,
yeah,
but, you know, no, she was talking about that on her Twitter feed before our episode.
But, yeah, I guess more people are follow Andy on Twitter than listen to our show.
Probably. But, you know, the one that I'm really pushing for is the Citizen Kane of Star
yes.
Trek. Tell people, tell Aaron that you want a Citizen Kane of Star Trek shirt. And also
but
now,
what's
just
the image?
It came up,
like,
it's well,
is it like Edith Keeler
me,
as the big background
no,
poster of
no,
Kane?
To me, it's a modified version of the artwork that Max did for Commentary Trek Stars 100, which was our Citizen Kane episode, where it's okay. I'm not going to say why it's this. For those people who haven't seen Citizen Kane, but it is a sled, but in the shape of a starship. It's a sled-shaped
you
starship.
You spoil the movie
so
that's barely
the,
even out, which, of course, is based on a true story, and you're afraid of spoiling Citizen Kane.
Well, Citizen Kane is much better than Spotlight, even though Spotlight is one of the best movies of the year. But I didn't spoil it. I literally said, like, what? Okay, so they published the
right.
story. But we know
they
published the story. They won a Pulitzer for it, you know? So, yes, but okay, so it's a sled, right? Like, but it's a starship shaped like
oh,
a sled.
I remember that.
Like, the nacelles
now.
Are like the blades, and then, you know, like the thing that you sit on is the saucer section. So you have that, and just have it say, like, the Citizen Kane of Star Trek, like Trek FM, the Citizen Kane of podcasts or something, you know? I mean, that's what I would do, probably, if I were making it. I would say, I would have that image, and then I would say, Trek FM. The Citizen Kane of podcasts. I think that would be
if
fun.
If you listener in the future, want to buy this shirt, that will certainly exist.
Well, here's the other one, which just came
more?
Up after last week's thing, which I was like, this is like super easy to do. Crazy Bones. Let's get a Crazy Bones shirt.
Hashtag Crazy
Bones.
It's
just a picture of Bones looking all crazy, right? You know?
I like Crazy Bones. Jump through the time
I'd buy
thing.
That shirt. I'd buy that shirt, but I would buy the Citizen Kane of podcast shirt first, for sure.
You could buy two
yes.
shirts at once,
but
even.
If you would buy...
Why don't you buy all
I
the
would.
Shirts? Go to trek.fm/store and buy all the shirts.
Yeah. Buy all the shirts and tell them what you want. If you think that these ideas are stupid, tell them that too, but tell them which ideas you want, you know, us to do instead so that we can get those out there.
All right. We'd also like to thank Richard Rutledge Jr. and Renee Roberts for being our associate producers this week by supporting us on Patreon. You can find Richard on Twitter at RUT8972 and Renee at MRES_1701.
Oh, and hey, you know, like we talked about the Babel Conference earlier, you know, once you listen to this episode, which you will have done now since we're at the end of it, go to the Babel Conference and find the thread for this episode and tell us what your top 10 TOS episodes are, you know? We want to hear from you.
Yes, definitely. If you want to support us on Patreon, you can support the network on Patreon by going to patreon.com/trekfm. You find a list of donation levels where you can get, like, exclusive digital goodies, early access to episodes, access to our project manager, and be listed as associate producer like Renee and Richard. On the site, you can find out where the donations go, things like covering the monthly cost of hosting and distribution, hiring in editors, upgrading our equipment, a bunch of cool stuff. Well, not my equipment anymore. But if you go to patreon.com/trekfm, you can check all that out and be sure to support us. Next week, Mike. Next week. Episode 110.
This is the end.
It will be the end of Standard Orbit 1.0, but it'll still be here. Your feeds won't change. You'll just get new episodes with new people.
Yeah, it'll be kind of like you know, when they switched you know, and became animated. Or I was going to say Next Generation, you know, but it's been more like when it became animated. Maybe it is more like Next Generation because it's different people.
Right. Right.
Right. Okay. So it's like a Next Generation show for the original series.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But last episode, we'll go through our little history and what we've learned
Yeah. It'll be exciting. And so,
yeah. Well, everybody, thanks for listening to this, the penultimate episode. Have a good week and keep on trekking. It is the will of Landru.
Mr. Chekhov, take us out of orbit. Ahead, warp factor 1.
Hi, sir.